CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to fascinating personalities who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here's Steve Klein.
Kevin Kelly said, "Wherever attention flows, money will follow." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who pay attention. Our first Playmakers company was founded in 1950 and has 600 employees and offices in 9 cities across the United States. While our next Playmakers company mentors companies that have developed, for instance, an app that syncs health data from the doctor to a patient's wearable device, and another that has a mobile app that tests intoxication levels by measuring pupil fluctuations. With us today is a CEO whose company is ranked as the largest independent accounting firm in the Southwest. Well, our next CEO's company has 3 funds invested in over 30 healthcare startups. These great playmakers are John Mackle. John is CEO and managing partner of Weaver, and Hubert Zajcek. Hubert is co-founder and CEO of Health Wildcatters, and we're going to begin today's show with Hubert. Dr. Hubert Zajcek is a CEO and co-founder of Health Wildcatters, a Dallas-based mentor-driven healthcare accelerator program founded in 2013. Health Wildcatters is focused on improving the quality of healthcare and saving lives through technology. Health Wildcatters is a 12-week program that offers health-focused startups in the early stages of funding, an initial seed investment, as well as access to mentors, advisors, office space, and strategic resources required to help the startups grow. Health Wildcatters, 3 funds are invested in over 30 healthcare startup companies, and to date, the program has successfully graduated 32 companies. Well, Hubert, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve. Pleasure to be here.
One of the questions that I have, and I'm sure people listening have too, is what is a seed accelerator program?
Well, we'll try to make it as simple as can be here, but think of it as a place where first-time entrepreneurs or people who haven't started a startup in healthcare get the resources to plug into and to be able to raise their capital and to make their company successful. In a nutshell, you already said it's a 3-month program. We have a little bit of money. We make an investment in them. And then during those 3 months, we wrap the collective wisdom of our 130-plus mentors around them. And so immerse them with lectures, with interactive events, and then also with just simply having people around you that can mentor you. And so that's the magic and the secret sauce. It all culminates in a what we call pitch day, which is a presentation of the final product to a large audience.
I can see how working together creates a lot of synergy. Ideas come out of that too. You mentioned about 113 mentors. Where do you find these mentors to help them?
Yeah, sure. The 3 of us that have founded this are deep in healthcare. We have healthcare backgrounds and have been around startups for a while. So we knew a lot of people who had successfully started healthcare companies, been successful healthcare entrepreneurs. And the thing that happens to you sooner or later is at some point you ask yourself, well, how could I be involved with something early? Now that I'm successful in late stage, it'd be fun to see some of those early stage startups. So we're fortunate to get people contacting us that have had success and they want to give back or want to be involved. In many cases, it's also our investors that want to be mentoring.
Well, that's an interesting concept. This is in the 21st century starting to bloom in a lot of different industries. You received your MBA from SMU, but you have your MD from the University of Vienna. You're from Austria.
Yes.
How did the move from Austria to the United States, specifically Dallas, and the idea of a seed accelerator program happen after getting your MD?
Sure. Well, it's the really windy roads, because when I came over here to the United States, I actually was a postdoc at UT Southwestern and later joined the faculty at UT Southwestern. I was an extramural fellow, basically funded by the NIH, and did my research there and got my MBA at the tail end of my tenure as on faculty there at UT Southwestern. So I joined a medical device incubator in Frisco that was just started about 10 years ago, and helped build that up with the leader, Larry Calton. And so that's where I got to see a lot of the do's and don'ts of tech commercialization, early stage startups in healthcare, and ultimately started together with three others, Health Wildcatters, based on those observations and the ones in academia as well.
Well, Health Wildcatters seems to be a great term for, especially in Texas anyway, gets people to take notice. But let's talk about the applications for your next program coming up. You take in, I believe you mentioned before the show started, 10 to 12 applications per year. But that's coming up a little over a month now, June 15th. Tell us what you're looking for.
Sure. Well, like I mentioned, three of us are healthcare veterans, and so we're and maybe just as a bit of background, accelerators oftentimes are really just focused on software only, and that's still a large part of our portfolio. But two of us are physicians, as people with healthcare backgrounds, we're really interested in any kind of healthcare innovation. So we've got medical devices, we've got a pharma, we can get into all that if we want to. But ultimately, what we're looking for is something that can change the game, something that is really making an impact and that drives us both on the have to, because we have investors, so we have to make returns, but also on the passion side. You know, we couldn't do this if it weren't in healthcare, where we can see people's lives impacted.
But you've had, we're going to come back to the June 15th through the application, but you've had some neat companies. I mentioned a few at the very beginning. I mentioned, was it Breathal Eyes?
Mm-hmm.
Where you can, they can tell your intoxication level just from the pupil fluctuations. You had Easy Eyes, Fitter, Inner Food.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nutrition platform that alerts, assesses, and advises users on the nutrients they consume versus what they need. Any others stand out to you that you've had that are really exciting?
Oh, absolutely. And since I'm on a radio show, I have to now go ahead and name all 32, because otherwise I'll get calls from them. No, there really are. Each is – here's the bit that's fascinating and fun. We pick these 10, 12 startups out of what's likely over 200 applicants. When we do that, we really are betting on the entrepreneur. So what I can give you here with certainty is that those are extraordinary people that have come up with fantastic ideas, and we get to spend time with them and build their business. Does it always work out the way we think? Most certainly not. But most are very successful already, and it's very early in the game. The ones that stand out, most of the ones you mentioned are on the IT side. We've also got medical devices. So we've got one developing a non-invasive glucometer, which is called Socrates Health Solutions. We've got one in the pharma world that is tackling prostate cancer and ovarian cancer. We've got one that is basically what I call 3D makeup, which is Silicon Arts Lab. So it's a way to camouflage a recessed scar. So there are many more, and now I'm going to get calls since I only mentioned six.
Well, I was one that mentioned the names, so you can put the onus back on me. What kind of healthcare startups you look for? You mentioned exciting, interesting ideas. Anything specific that you look for as you're narrowing it down from 200 to 10 to 12?
Sure. We are looking for companies that are moving the needle, that are doing something new, and can prove how they are different. So, for instance, it may be better defined by what we're not looking for. So we're not investing in hospitals or physician practices or things of that nature. So we're really looking for technology. In most of our cases, that was software or medical devices. But like I said earlier, we are willing and able to look at other areas as well. Because remember, we're not based on zeros and ones. We're not software people. So we're really looking forward to impact in healthcare.
Well, June 15th is your application deadline date. How does someone who wants to become involved in your program find out about the application?
Absolutely. Well, thanks for the question. So it's on our website, healthwildcatters.com, and there's a button that says apply. It shouldn't take more than 15 minutes to fill out. But think of it that way. I spent years in academia and spent lots of time writing grants. I do not like to waste people's time. On the other hand, our time is valuable too, and we got to know what it is your company is made of and how we best evaluate you. So the questions in that questionnaire that we're asking you are going to be the same questions an investor would ask you, are going to be the same questions that you need to know answers for. And so I don't think if you have those already, that's great. Chances are you do. If you don't, the exercise is not moot. You will need to be able to answer those questions. So it's just pretty easy. And there's a little feature in there. You do a little video. You can just do it on your iPhone. Tell us about yourself. Tell us about you. Tell us about your company. Just a minute.
Well, if you're applying for something where you're receiving funding, they need to know what's going on. You're here in DFW. You've been in Dallas-Fort Worth for a while. What makes Dallas-Fort Worth stand out for the healthcare industry?
Yeah, it's, you know, we always talk about the headlines when every city has to be known for something, and we're known for oil and gas and real estate, and we are all beneficiaries of that one way or another. Our city has grown tremendously. But underneath that top layer of success are some areas that Dallas has gotten really strong at. And as large as we are here, even as what you might think of as second tier or a byline, is huge in a national scheme of things. So, for instance, think of restaurant concepts. I mean, Dallas is huge in that. Retail innovation, Dallas is huge in that. And healthcare IT or health innovation, we're also really big at, strong at. Now, add that Texas is doing well, DFW is growing, largest employment influx, and you have seven hospital systems, depending on how many you count, that are competing with each other in an expanding pie scenario, meaning growth in the area. And that breeds a need for innovation and an interest by the hospital systems to grow. And we have also happened to have two of the largest ones in the country with Baylor and THR. So there's some big aspirations, and I have no reason to believe that Dallas isn't in the top three nationwide already.
So what are you and your company doing now to come up with innovative improvements for health wildcatters?
Well, so just like everyone else, we do have to add things and improve things, and we try things on an ongoing basis. We're only 3 years old ourselves, and we're privately funded. It's pretty simple for investors to turn the spigot off and say, you're not performing. So we have to continue to improve and innovate. For us, on the horizon this summer is a move into our own headquarters. We're currently sharing them. So we'll be able to do more in the sense of also having our graduates housed within our own four walls. We'll be able to do more events, bigger events, and also start looking out beyond Dallas-Fort Worth and how we can source innovation to Dallas-Fort Worth or help others in other cities to innovate there.
Well, tell everybody one more time the deadline for applications and how they can find out more about Health Wildcatters.
Sure. Our application deadline is June 15th, and please go to our website, healthwildcatters.com, and that's two T's in there, like a wildcatter, and there's a button that says apply, and you're right there.
Well, Huber, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
My pleasure. It was great. Thanks.
Huber Zajcek is co-founder and CEO of Health Wildcatters. Again, healthwildcatters.com. Don't go away. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with John Mackle. John Mackle is the CEO and managing partner of Weaver. Back with John right after this.
Wipe Out Kids Cancer is a Dallas-based nonprofit organization founded in 1980 dedicated to raising awareness and funding for pediatric cancer research on a national basis. Wipe Out Kids Cancer has raised over $4 million in the crusade against pediatric cancer and spent over 30 years developing programs to not only fight childhood cancer, but to also provide hope and support to kids and families battling cancer. Our mission is to work relentlessly for a day when children are living cancer-free. You can help make a difference. Go to WOKC.org to donate or volunteer. That's WOKC.org.
Operation Kindness is the original and largest no-kill animal shelter in North Texas, having saved more than 80,000 cats and dogs over almost 40 years. On a day-to-day basis, Operation Kindness cares for approximately 300 cats and dogs, with another 150 in foster homes. In the past 12 months, more than 4,200 homeless cats and dogs have received medical care, clean shelter, nutritious food, and playtime until they were adopted into a new forever home. Go to OperationKindness.org to adopt or foster a dog or cat. Donate or volunteer. That's OperationKindness.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment, we're going to speak accounting. We're going to talk to John Mackle. John Mackle has nearly 20 years of experience in public accounting and currently serves as Weaver's managing partner and CEO. John began his career with a Big Four firm and over the years has dedicated his practice to providing high-quality audit, attestation, and advisory services, primarily in the oil and gas, renewable energy, and investment management sectors. Founded in 1950, Weaver currently has 600 employees and offices in 9 cities across the United States. Weaver is ranked the largest independent accounting firm in the Southwest by Accounting Today magazine. The firm is also ranked the 38th largest firm in the United States and a 2015 Best of the Best Firm to Watch by Inside Public Accounting. Prior to his role as CEO, John led Weaver's industry practice groups for 5 years. He also served as the partner in charge of the firm's oil and gas practice and has been a member of Weaver's executive committee since June of 2009. Well, John, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks, Steve. Very happy to be here.
You've been in accounting for a while. How did you get started in the accounting field?
Well, first of all, my father was an accountant. He worked in tax for some large companies for my entire time growing up, and so didn't necessarily think I was going to go into accounting, but after I went to college and wasn't really good at anything else, that was kind of a natural fit, and unlike my dad, I decided to go in the public accounting route versus working for a large company.
So you weren't quite sure what you're going to do, but apparently through osmosis, you picked up something from your father.
Exactly. He was always a big fan of the industry, and once I started taking the classes, it was just kind of a natural fit, and I enjoyed serving clients and just really kind of enjoyed the profession.
Well, what made the move to Weaver?
Well, it actually started. I started at a big accounting firm. It was the Big Six at the time. Now it's down to the Big Four. And after 4 or 5 years and wanting a little more work-life balance, I ended up finding a local firm in the Houston market and joined that practice in 2001. And we grew that practice over a 5 or 6 year period, and then met some of the partners at Weaver and Tidwell here in Dallas-Fort Worth. And in 2007, merged the practices together with Mack Lahan, the then managing partner's goal of building a large Texas practice, which at the time, there wasn't really a regional firm that was just based in Texas. It was a lot of large local firms and then the national firms.
I would think being a regional firm, you understand the economy in the state. Being focused on oil and gas, real estate, et cetera. Has that been a help for your firm, and did that help grow the firm?
Yeah, that's helped grow the firm tremendously. So we have focused almost primarily on the middle market and then high net worth individuals on the tax side. And so, you know, what we tried to do is really focus ourselves in certain industries. So we do a lot of energy work. We do a lot of manufacturing work, a lot of financial services, and then a lot of public sector government work. And so we've tried to stick to core areas that we're good at within the middle market, which has helped us to be very competitive. And I think to be very highly respected and from a client service standpoint, from our clients.
Helps to work where your strengths are to begin with.
Right. Exactly.
Let's talk about Weaver. Weaver started in 1950, so that makes you 66 years old, I believe.
I'm going to trust your math.
Started in Fort Worth.
Yes.
Where did the firm go from there?
Started in Fort Worth, expanded into the Dallas market. With several mergers and acquisitions of talent in Dallas, and then in 2007 did the deal in Houston. And then from there, we did mergers in San Antonio market, basically opened an office in the Austin market, and then did a merger in Midland, Odessa to get our office going there. So currently, we sit with seven cities in Texas, which is more offices than any other firm has. And so we've completely dedicated ourselves to really growing out that business. And it's really neat watching the growth, especially since 2007, and you see the synergies between the offices and the referrals back and forth, both from the investors and our clients and then just from the clients expanding into those different markets. So obviously Dallas-Fort Worth works very closely together. Our Houston Midland office works very closely together because of all of the related energy clients. And then our Austin San Antonio really runs as one big office for Central Texas and South Texas.
I can see also why you're doing – you're so strong as a regional firm too. A lot of Texans believe this is a country unto itself. And we're different from the rest of the U.S., so you can take care of them right there.
Mm-hmm.
What are Weaver's strategies for expanding your presence in those existing markets you talked about and for getting into a few new markets in Texas or even outside of Texas?
So in our existing markets, again, we're trying to focus on our strengths. We really think over the next 3 to 4 years, we can double the size of the Texas practices. In Houston, Dallas, and Fort Worth, we have just a very diversified base of talent. And so we're focusing on growing our public sector practice. And in Dallas, Fort Worth, we are one of the largest providers of audits for cities and school districts. So down in Houston, we just did a merger with a firm out of Conroe and brought in two partners because that is an area that they focus in. So we're trying to grow that government practice out in Houston to match what we have in DFW. And then in DFW, we're trying to expand our private sector practices to have the strength that our government practices have. So we're focused a lot on private equity and their investments in energy and manufacturing and financial services.
I would think also, especially in Houston and DFW, with the amount of new firms from out of state moving
right.
in state, the potential is great for Weaver.
Yes, it is. But then we would also prefer that they not keep moving into the state of Texas. So, you know, one of the things we're doing, and you mentioned growth outside of Texas, is in the state of Texas, we are one of the largest providers of audits of private equity and hedge funds. And we see a big opportunity to grow that practice outside of Texas. So we recently, 18 months ago, opened up an office in Los Angeles, recruited two partners there, and they are primarily focused on operating in that area. So right now we're interviewing candidates to open an office in San Francisco and in New York, with the strategy of, again, going after those investment funds that, for one, we see as a great individual practice, but are also investing a lot of dollars back in Texas. And so we feel like the closer we can get to those investments, the more opportunities we have for audit and tax work for the portfolio companies that they're in. And that is somewhat of a defensive move with these firms moving from the East Coast and seeing the opportunities in Texas, and they might have relationships there that move money to Texas, and we're trying to combat that a little bit.
Well, those are three of the corners of the United States, adding a little bit of diversity to Weaver. But I'm going to take a guess here that one of the reasons why your company is so successful is because of the people. So let me ask this. What attracts people to Weaver, and how do you retain your employees versus the competition? Because I'm sure it's very competitive.
Yeah, it's definitely all about the people. And as the CEO, I am focused more on the people side than on the client side, because the better that we attract and retain and develop people, the better services on the back end with our clients. So we're selling a couple different things. One is we're big on selling opportunity. We right now, a lot of the younger folks that are coming in as partners in our firm are making it in 9 to 10 to 11 years. And so we've really, to go along with this growth, we've set up a very entrepreneurial culture that we believe is attracting a lot of people to the firm. We've put in place a pretty regimented development program that starts with learning their trade on the audit, tax, and advisory side and then works into more soft skills for business development and managing people. And then we're also focusing them on our clients' business. So, you know, if you're working in the energy industry, that's where you're working. We want you to learn that business, and that's helping you get there quicker. So that's one thing that's attracting people to our firm. And then two is the culture side. I mean, we are somewhat adopting the little bit more of the millennial mentality and trying to provide work-life balance for our people. It's earned, but flexibility on when you have to be in the office, when you can work at home, real-time feedback on projects with project reviews, and then a mentoring program where, based on your strengths and weaknesses, we try to align our up-and-coming folks with the right people to mentor them along the way.
You mentioned a number of things that makes you so successful, but is there anything else you can think of that really makes you different from your big competitors?
I think, you know, we've been very fortunate. I'm a fairly young CEO in this role for a CPA firm, that the partners that came before us at Weaver did a really good job of setting the firm up to continue to turn over to the generations as they come along. And so the firm has no debt, and there's really very few succession issues that we have, both from the leadership standpoint and in each one of our offices. We've got our average age of our partners down to 47 years old, and it's getting younger every year. And it's just something that's kind of starting to set us apart from the other firms that have struggled with succession.
I would think that's a big differentiator, having, because you mentioned mid-40s. My guess is, compared to some of your competitors, that's a very young age for an average age.
Yeah, it's a good average age. I don't, you know, you don't want to be too young from an experience standpoint, because people want to experience accountants working on their jobs. But then, if you're not attracting that young talent into the firm, you're not going to move it to the next generation. So it's extremely important that you keep attracting and developing and making the firm a viable place for the young folks that join. I kind of equate it to I've taken the philosophy from the day I made partner to the position I am now, that the most important thing I can do is set the firm up so someone else can succeed like I have. And I think I'm a big college football fan. If you look at a lot of the top college football coaches in the country, they say, I'm not really here to win championships for myself. I'm here to win it for the guys I'm recruiting, and that's the commitment I made. So, really just trying to work hard to make sure that we do as good of a job of helping those people come along in the firm and have the same opportunities that we've had.
You said that you're focused more on the people side than the client side, which is very important. But where do you want to lead the company over the next few years?
Well, we've got a strong goal, again, to try to double the practice in Texas and then continue to grow the practices outside of Texas. From what I mentioned earlier, we are looking at these large markets. We've started in Los Angeles. So I think our story is going to begin to evolve over the next 3 to 4 years from more of a regional firm to more of a national firm. But we want to do it, the right way. We don't want to do it too quickly. I think some firms have tried to do a number of mergers to get there. We want to do a combination of some mergers and then just a lot of recruiting and developing our people along the way. But we're hoping 3 to 5 years from now we wake up and we've got twice the size of a firm that we have today in Texas, not more markets, but just bigger in each individual market. And then we're starting to see some real establishment in these offices outside of Texas.
So if someone would like to become a part of Weaver or even become a client of Weaver, where should they go on the internet?
The best spot is to go to weaver.com. We're constantly working on our website. It's updated daily by our marketing department, so that is the best place to start. You can, if you're looking to join the firm, there's areas to put your resume in or send an email directly to our recruiters. And then from a client standpoint, you can go under our industry practices and click on that web page. And depending on what business you're in, if you're in manufacturing, you'll see a manufacturing leader. His name is Brad Jay. You can look him up, send him an email directly, and that is the best way to get that process started.
Well, John, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
John Mackel is the CEO and managing partner of Weaver. Our first guest was Hubert Zajcek. He's co-founder and CEO of Health Wildcatters. Both great interviews. This has been a terrific show. Thank you all very much for joining us. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we'll be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting playmakers.